The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast on Thursday, the 2nd of October, 2025. First podcast of Q4 2025. It's never going to happen again, that. That's dates for you. Is the US in an AI bubble? Will October be the pop month? General markets are never easy to predict or time. They often do the opposite of what the prevailing sort of doom-laden narrative leads you to believe. Now, if you read the macro news, you could only ever be bearish on stocks. But the AMOL share has broken out above recent resistance at 777. It's now at 792. Let me just check that. Or 789, is that? And the recent sort of resistance at 777. It's the highest it's been since June 2024. The FTSE small cap is also hitting 52-week highs. In fact, the highest it's been since January the 21st, 2022. That's about 3 years, 7 months. FTSE 100 hit an all-time high in June and has gone on to make new highs. I'm just thinking, is the money trickling down? This often happens. People go for the big markets start moving first. They make a good run. And then people become, you know, less worried about risk. They want to take on more risk. And the money comes down the markets. And of course, it needs less money to move small cap stocks. And so that's why they tend to move faster and bigger moves up and down when the money starts coming in and out. And if you look at the US, it's gone a bit nuts. The NASDAQ and the S&P 500 keep going up. The S&P 500 has made 35 new 52-week highs, 35, in 2025. You think that's nuts? The NASDAQ has made 99 new 52-week highs this year, and we're only in the 2nd of October. So what's not like, eh? Everything's going well, isn't it? Do you know what? There's a scatter chart, right? I never look at, I'm not a big fan of scatter charts, to be honest, but there's a scatter chart from JP Morgan illustrating the historical relationship between the S&P 500's forward PE ratio and subsequent returns. Now, previously, when the S&P 500 was at a forward PE of 23, where it is now, the subsequent five-year return has been between 0% at best and about minus 0.3% at worst. And you can't ignore those kind of stats. So I'll just repeat that. When the S&P 500 has previously been at a forward PE of 23, where it is now, the five-year return going forward has been between 0 and minus 0.3%. Investors may be thinking, yeah, it's different now, we've got AI. Everything's getting more efficient. It may be different this way. It could be different this time. And bull markets can go on for a long time as rising share prices, you know, they tend to attract buyers. People talk a lot more about their portfolios when they're making profits. In America, I guarantee you, every sort of weekend, any dinner party, anything's happening, people are holding stocks, and a lot more people do in America than the UK. Over 60% of people hold stocks or invest in the market compared to half that in the UK. So, of course, they're talking about how they're making good money. And then people get drawn into it. More money follows the money. Rising stocks attract buyers. It's a momentum trade, essentially. Momentum is a very powerful force. Never take the other side of it. The trend is your friend. That's why they say it. And likewise, it keeps going until it doesn't. And it goes the other way. And falling stock prices attract sellers. And momentum goes the other way. But do you know what? As I said, if you can't just focus on the macro and be bullish. You've got to think about individual stocks. And if they keep rising, they keep rising. Full stop. Of course, September is behind us. September is the worst month on record ever. I think it was the only negative month since 1927. It's the only negative month. So, you know, there's a lot going for it. However, though, we are into October. And October has a history of crashes. Notably, the panic of 1907, the Wall Street crash of 1929, Black Monday of 1987, and some of the sharpest falls of the 2008 financial crisis. However, if it does crash, it will reset valuations and therefore probably a buying opportunity for long-term investors if you have some cash. And that's the thing. When people, you know, it's that old saying, you know, Warren Buffett, if he said this, he's a genius. Be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And right now in America, even the commentators on CNBC, who are always quite bullish, are starting to question valuations here, which means it could go higher, but it could also roll over. And then when it does start to roll over, what's the reason? Well, valuations are crazy. There's always something that fits the narrative. I'm just saying, be careful. Don't go crazy on, you know, US stocks. US and UK is the same. Even though we get dragged down, the valuations on UK stocks are a lot different. They're not stretched like in America. So there's plenty of opportunity, especially if the American markets roll over and drags us down to buy stocks. And like I said, you know, as a long-term investor, I only ever see corrections. Think about all the crashes and corrections we've had, and now we're hitting, you know, new highs on the FTSE and the S&P and NASDAQ. So, you know, everyone sort of worries about this crash. It's like, oh, it's the end of the world. The more fear in the market, the more opportunity, full stop. Having said that, I am now over 30% in cash. I'm still invested, not fully invested, because I just want to take advantage. I've just been going through the S&P 500. In fact, on the podcast tomorrow, regardless of whether there's any news or not, I'll go through stats. I've gone back 10 years in the S&P 500 and looked at every fall of 5% or more. How many are there, by the way? There's been 28 since July 2015, falls of 5% or more. And I'll go through some stats on that. But they are opportunities, full stop. Okay, quickly, in macro news, listen to this. This was last month, right? This is the stats in UK. More job cuts have been announced by the Bank of England. This is the last month. UK business cuts jobs at the fastest pace in 4 years over the summer, according to the Bank of England survey, highlighting the impact from tax rises on employers. The monthly snapshot from a survey of chief financial officers at British businesses of all sizes showed firms reduced employment by an annual rate of 0.5% in the 3 months to August, the fastest since 2021. And what was that? COVID. And now here's this month. UK firms' hiring plans weakest since 2020. Bank of England survey says. UK companies' hiring plans are the weakest since 2020, according to the Bank of England survey. The survey showed that in the 3 months to September, businesses expected to keep employment steady over the next 12 months. It's the first time since the 3 months to November 2020 that firms did not intend to take on more staff. That is worrying, because that's intention by CFOs, the money men of companies. And so this is not yet playing out in the actual figures. But it will do unless they change their mind for some reason. And of course, there may be some bearishness around the budget. But that is a forward indicator of where the jobs market is in the UK. So it's a little bit worrying. On the positive side, Reeves plans to scrap stamp duty, apparently rumours saying, on IPOs. So in companies listing on the stock market, stamp duty, I don't think anyone else has stamp duty buying stocks or shares. And that's one of the reasons, you know, some companies use, as you know, that's why they don't list here, because it prevents liquidity. You charge extra money just to buy shares. So maybe that'll help. I think it's 2 or 3 years after listing, you won't get charged stamp duty. And there's also, I heard this on the podcast, The Morning Blast, which is very good, PIQ, check it out. They go through a lot of stats there. But there are some rumours in the budget, some business relief, rate relief on certain size companies. I've not read this anywhere. I did search for it. I couldn't find it. But if that's good, they need to start leaking this out. In fact, I've said this the last couple of podcasts. If there's any good news in the budget, which you hope she's trying to do, a balancing act of raising tax on working people, then there's got to start sort of, slipping out some positive news as well. So we're not giving the impression it's all doom and gloom in the budget. By the way, interesting little thing here. A company called Ashtead Technology. It was a flyer from, when was this? From when it listed, it was spun out from Ashtead, you know, the bigger hire company. This is Subsea Technology, hiring equipment out for oil and gas, wind farms, all that stuff. So from when it listed, which was 2022, when was this? I can't get the date there. Yeah. End of 2021. Up until July 24, it did a 450% rise up to $8.90 a share, okay? And it's sunk back down pretty much to $3.18. Good growth, but they had a profit warning. But they've also announced, I watched the presentation yesterday, and they're very bullish on the second half. First half, they had some problems, of course, with tariffs, as all companies did. But they're still going to do growth, and they're on a forward PE of 7. Ridiculous, really. Growth is 23% top line. In fact, let me bring this up on my website here. Sharepickers.com, by the way. So expected to do growth of 23% top line for 2025. Net profit growth of 22% puts them on a PE pretty much of 8. Forecast PE of 8, cheap. Okay, but they've been listed on AIM since they IPO'd, end of 21. And they've announced their intention to delist from AIM and list on the main market to improve liquidity, all that stuff. Now, the problem with that is there's lots of inheritance tax funds invested in stocks on AIM because it reduces your inheritance tax burden. You know, there's ways around that. Exemption from inheritance tax is, I think, 50%. Rachel Reeves cut that off. It was 100%. In the last budget, she cut it on 50%. So because moving to the main market, all these IHT funds have had to exit. It's the last day of trading for this company on AIM tomorrow. And today, it went by 12.25%. It's also, I think, probably the reason why, maybe that little profit warning they had in each one, plus, it's also probably the reason why it's the most shorted stock in the UK. Now, it's up, 12.25% today, 398, breaking previous resistance, and I would expect to see some shorts coming off, reducing the shorts, buying back in. If that happens, this could have an almighty rally. It's shorted, 8.8% of the stock is shorted. But once it starts rallying like it is now, those shorts can have to close. So not only the fundamentals of the business getting better, it's a good valuation, good growth, but you've got this short covering that's going to have to sort of buy back shares. So it's worth a look. AT, last day tomorrow. If it rises tomorrow, then the shorts are going to have to, you know, close because it's a big rise today. If it does that again tomorrow, the shorts are in trouble. They're going to cut, and it's going to really ramp up and go up. And then, of course, what is market cap? Market cap's about 300 million. So it's the right size for fund managers to take positions in on the main market. So worth a watch. Ashtead Technology. Very good company, I think, and worth watching. But it was a very interesting day. The last day of trading on AIM, and we're starting to see a bit of a rise here. Like I say, it's been shorted, and you've had funds exiting, basically based on that, pretty much. But now they're going to have to rewind that, reverse that, come back in. Okay, let's have a look at the Macrocap database. Anything of interest on here? These are companies that are commercial, profitable, below 300 million market cap. Let's start with Advanced ADVT, half-year trading update. Now, they provide software solutions and platforms across two businesses, transformational areas, business and solutions, compliance, and human capital management. So they're quite a big acquirer of companies. At 185 a share, they're 252 million market cap, but about 160 enterprise value. They've got a tumble load of cash, in about 96.9 million. Okay. Let's scroll down here. So, half year trading update. The revenue is expected to be no less than 25 million versus 19.8, up 26%. Adjusted EBITDA anticipated to be at least 7 million versus 4 million, up 75%. Net cash up 96.9 million versus 83.3, up 16%. Plus they have 19.2 million held as an investment in M&C Saatchi PLC. Which I assume they can sell if they want to. So forecasts for revenue go up by 19% for 26, 51.6 million, 19. Net profit is going to drop. This is a non-cash issue due to the investment in Saatchi, because the share price has dropped in there. So it's not a cash thing, but it's down 51% to 5.3. But underlying profit for tax is going to be 14.1 million, which is an increase. So going for 2027, expect to see revenue of 54.5 million, up 6%, net profit up 91% to 10.1. At 185 a share, it's a P/E of 25, but taking into account the cash, there's an EV earnings of just 16. But what price do you put on Vin Murray's track record? She's the chairperson here, executive chairperson. If you've not heard of Vin Murray, she's OBE. She helped take key, this is the last two, the last three companies she's involved with, okay? She took Keywall Systems from a 3 million market cap to 1.2 billion market cap. That's 39,000% increase. Then Computer Software Group, she took it from 1 million to 500 million. That is a 49,000% return. And then the last company before this company, Advanced Computer Software, took it from 3 million to 760 million. That's 25,000% increase. Although, when they sold it, 760, it resold again in 2019 for 2 billion, that did. From the 18% stake she held, she took 140.2 million from the sale, making her one of the wealthiest women in the UK. And Vin says she looks at her last success, and that gives herself a target to beat it somewhere else. I've interviewed Vin. She's very confident, very clever. And basically, what she's doing is, what are you doing with this one? Same as the last one. We acquire good businesses. We make them better operationally, more efficient. We bring them into a wider, bigger company that will help that company upsell, cross-sell, downsell, everything. And we package them all together. And so they acquire. And when you realize they have, I hold some of this stock, by the way, that's from signing the publish. When you realize they have 97 million of cash, there's a lot of optionality to buy stuff. And a lot of this stuff is recurring revenue, software as a service. So I think it's worth a look. It's ADVT. I do all of that. But I also hold, by the way, a bit of Ashton Technology. Just to let you know that I'm talking about a book, but I'm just saying do research. You know, do not buy, do research. Hercules, trading update today. A leading tech-enabled labour supply company for the UK infrastructure sector. Now, we all know that there's going to be a big spend in the infrastructure sector. May not be coming along yet. But at 38 pence a share, they are market cap at 30 million, enterprise value 31. Brusk Korkmaz is the CEO, holds 47%. Did you still hold that? Wow. Let's have a look what the trading update is about here. So there's been no broker release here covering the trading update, full year trading update. But they said the company expects another record year with Hercules revenue, adjusted EBITDA and adjusted profit for tax for 2025 in line with market expectations. So those expectations last time I looked were revenue £112 million, up 10%, net profit up 75%, 2.86 at 30 pence a share, puts them on a forecast P/E of 11. Decent growth and value there. For 26, revenue up 15%, 129 million. Net profit up 21% to 3.7 million. At 38 pence a share, puts them on a forecast P/E 9. Again, decent growth and value. They should also benefit from state-backed infrastructure spend. Worth a watch. HURC is ticker there. Where did that rise today? Oh no, went up and come back down. So 267 went up. It went up to 38 pence, came back down to 36. That seems to be bottoming out there. Maybe worth a little tickle. Who knows? Little tickle? Anything else? No, I did. I obviously didn't do any podcast yesterday because I had the weekly webinar, live weekly webinar for the club. I went through a lot of stuff on there. But of course, if you remember, you can see what I posted. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Four companies yesterday, sorry. Check that out if you want to. Shipikers Investment Club. It's 40% off you can get. Go to shipikers.com, click on the book or the about section on the website, and you can get it for, well, it's you know, I'll tell you how much it'll cost you, okay? If you get 40% off, it's half a pint of beer a week. That's what it's like. It's a battered jumbo sausage from the chippy. It's half the amount a person spends on chocolate in a week. Less than a latte from Starbucks. And one feeds your belly, can make you, you know, create your own wealth. Sorry, one feeds your belly. What am I saying? Yeah, one feeds your belly, makes you fat, slow, lazy. And one feeds your mind, which can increase your wealth and your health. I don't know about your health, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, thank you. Tomorrow, I'll do the stats and corrections. I'm waiting for a correction to get back in. To plug some money in, but I'm still invested in quite a few companies anyway, so I'm happy the market keeps going up. And you'd be surprised how often the market's dropped by 5% or more. So there's always opportunity. Speak to you tomorrow. Thanks for listening. SharePickers.com. Muchos apreciados.
The Share Pickers Podcast with Justin Waite. The content of this podcast is not intended as investment advice. It is for information purposes only. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.